Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Size Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live. Stay
tuned. Om Shri Sai Ram. Glory be to our God, our beloved Lord, Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, His Son, Jesus the Christ, and all the divine beings and the angels and the blessed devotees of Lord Sai who have descended upon the divine valley of Prashanti Nilayam in South India to celebrate yet another organic and spiritually charged Christmas 2016. Jai Sai Ram, Feliz Navidad, Merry Christmas and a very good morning, dear listeners. My name is Karuna and on behalf of the entire team at Radio Sai, I welcome you warmly to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. We are coming to you live from the Radio Sai Studios at Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. Today is the 22nd of December 2016 and the current time in the ashram right now is 41 minutes past 9 a.m. That is the Indian Standard Time. Current temperature in the Divine Valley, 24 degrees Celsius. Currently, we are experiencing heavenly weather conditions with overnight mercury dipping to a low of 16 degrees Celsius and daytime highs of 30 Celsius. In Fahrenheit, that comes to a minimum of 60 and maximum of 86 Fahrenheit. Clear blue skies and plenty of sunshine. Our ashram is all decked up in the spirit of Christmas, and Baba's devotees of all skin and hair colors are milling around as the various teams put up the decorations. Choir practices have intensified, and today on Morning Glory, I have a Christmas special lined up for you. We will start with a live studio discussion with the members of the Christmas decoration team for 2016. My four guests are seated here in the studio and I shall introduce you to them very shortly. This live discussion will be followed by a sweet short interview I recorded yesterday with Dr. Tatiana Goldberg, who will be leading this year's choir. Since Dr. Tatiana Goldberg had choir practice right now, we had to record this interview yesterday in the afternoon. Finally, I will announce the names of all those who answered my question correctly for the quiz that I ran on Morning Glory last week. And of course, we will close Morning Glory with self-reflection by Mr. K. Chakravarti. Today, I will play Episode 7, Light and Prism. With that, it's my pleasure to introduce you to my four studio guests. They're all members of the Christmas Decoration Committee for 2016 here in Prashanti Nilayam. And they are Mr. Subri, Mr. Devan Naidu, Mr. Jeeva Govinder, and Mr. Basil. And I'm going to request each of my guests to please introduce themselves before they speak for the first time on this show. My first question goes to Brother Subri Naidu. Brother, we have noticed that each year a country takes charge of the overall Christmas decorations in Prashanti. This year, there has been a departure from that trend. Would you care to bring us up to speed on this new initiative after you have briefly introduced yourself to our listeners, sir?
Om Sai Ram. My name is Subramani Naidu, better known as Subri Naidu by many people. I've been in the Satya Sai organization since 1975 from 1983. I've been a member of the Central Council, now the National Council. I'm currently the National Deputy President, and I am the coordinator for Christmas decorations in Prashanthi Nilayam. We had a challenge being part of the Christmas committee. We had no country to do the decorations for 2016, and it was a great challenge. The chairman of the Christmas committee contacted me and said, we got a problem, how are we going to go about it? After praying to Swami, he's given the answers to put a team together from South Africa while I'm in that country. It was more easier to coordinate. And I've put a good team together. I've approached the team that helped me to put the Christmas decorations 2010, which was a great success here in Prashanthi Nilayam. And these chaps wholeheartedly agreed to do this Christmas decorations this year. It was a team of very, very dedicated, long-time devotees of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, who dedicated many, many, many hours over the years in the Satya Sai organization. These band of men, currently with me right now, have dedicated many, many hours this year to put this year's Christmas decoration to where it is right now. This team sat together for many, many hours, starting from April this year, 3 days a week, putting hours from like 7 p.m. till 1, 2 in the morning to put this together. We had the great challenge of, or the great opportunity to put up a design and a theme for this Christmas decorations. And I got Brother Jiva, who is here with me, who was the main coordinator, who put a team together, and these brothers worked tirelessly to get our Christmas decorations to where it is right now.
Hmm. Well, thank you for that. So I would turn to then Brother Jiva Govinder. Brother, apart from introducing yourself, if you could tell us what is the overall theme and the color scheme and the design behind this year's Christmas decor, because it is already looking so stunning out here. And, you know, we took some pictures at Radio Sai, which have been circulated, and the response is tremendous. Everybody who's not here wishes they were here. It looks like a paradise, a divine paradise. So what is the theme behind it, brother?
Om Shri Sai Ram. I'm Jiva Govinder, a devotee in South Africa, Chatsworth Region 2. As Uncle Subri has mentioned, we spent, through Swami's grace, we've spent many, many hours working together as a team, trying to put together the design, the theme, and the entire concept as an offering to Swami. With it being Christmas, we had to reflect on what Jesus' underlying message was, and it was none other than love. Even non-Christians would commonly commonly associate love thy neighbor as thyself as being one of the commandments of Jesus' messages. So on the birth of the Lord, what more can we offer but the message of love?
Truly, well spoken, yes.
So love was going to be the message. But what we wanted was for that message to translate into practical spirituality. Mm-hmm. So after hours of brainstorming and prayer, and as Swami would have it, we came up with an acronym for the word love. And it automatically had given us the message of practical spirituality, mm-hmm. because it stood for living our values every day. So that became the theme for Christmas for this year.
Very nice, living our values every day, L-O-V-E, nice.
So Swami also gave us the answers to merge the concept of love with the theme of living our values every day. And that then brought the message of the human values, the five human values. And in terms of practical spirituality, mm-hmm. love is thought, is truth, love is action, is right conduct. Love as feeling is peace, and love as understanding is nonviolence. So, with the symbol, so naturally the symbol for Christmas became the heart, symbolizing love. And the colors thereafter naturally then became the colors of the human values, which was orange, blue, violet, and green. So Swami took care of everything. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. And I love that the expansion of that acronym LOVE, Living Our Values Every Day. And you mentioned that, you know, everybody, Christians and non-Christians, are participating. So I'd like to share with our listeners and with all four of you gentlemen that the other day I was just pulling up to park my car, and it was such a sight to behold. I regret not being ready with the camera. I saw a person who is obviously part of your team. He's a sannyasi. He wears ochre robes, orange colors. He's a renunciate and a Hindu sadhu, obviously. He was walking around carrying this whole lot of holly and a big cross on his shoulders to take it up for decoration. I cannot think of any place on the face of this enormous beautiful planet where a Hindu sannyasi would so joyfully participate in decorating to announce the birth of Jesus the Christ. This is something that we have happening only in Prashanthi Nilayam and only because of Baba's grace. And it's so unusual for someone who's not as broad-minded as we are, thanks to Swami's training, to even accept or process such a fact. One picture that would speak a million words, you know, a Hindu sadhu carrying the cross and the holly, taking it somewhere. He was transporting it somewhere. It was quite heavy. I wish I could scramble and grab my mobile and take a picture, but I lost that shot. It was worth it. Now, I'd like to turn to Brother Devan Naidu. If you can please tell us and bring us up to speed about who are the volunteers involved and how do you guys plan such a massive mammoth exercise? How do you divide the labor? How does it all work?
Om Shri Sai Ram. I'm Devan Naidu. I belong to the Hillside Center, Sai Center in Durban. We have served as a server convener.
I see.
And then moved on to a regional server convener position in the South Coast region. Sister Karuna, volunteers for this year's decorations, yeah, were open to the last 10 countries that participated in the Christmas decorations. However, as per Swami's divine plan, when we got here, they were very eager devotees from across the globe, whom we had to welcome into the team. We identified team leaders that took responsibilities for the different design elements, like the fabric, mm-hmm, the wreaths, carpentry, substructures, vinyl, etc. And this year, the additional participants, we had devotees from Poland, Malaysia, Israel, Russia, Ukraine,
wow,
the Netherlands, Germany, so many other countries had participants this year. In terms of the decorations, there are three phases.
Mm-hmm.
The manufacture, which happened in Shed 2, that was over the last 10 days. The installation, we started on the 20th, and it has to be completed by the 23rd. And thereafter, it will be removal, pack, and store away, which normally happens between the 20th and the 4th of January.
Wow, sounds like a turnkey operation. Very well planned out. Great project management, I must say. I'm now going to turn to Brother Basil Nadesan. Brother, what are the highlights of the experience of working in such a global environment where you're celebrating Christmas in an ashram in South India? It's almost oxymoronic to talk of Christmas being celebrated in an ashram in South India to those who don't understand what Baba stood for. So what's the experience like? And, you know, you mentioned so many countries. I can't imagine many of those people possibly don't even celebrate Christmas with such joy in the countries of their origin because of political climate and so on. But in Parthi, everybody's free.
Om Sai Ram, Sister Karuna.
Sai Ram.
Thanks to our dear Lord for allowing us this chance to be aired on radio. I'm going to give you a quick overview before we continue.
Sure.
I've been here since 2009.
Okay.
Doing the lighting and decorations. A part of the international team.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing the videos back in South Africa,
mm-hmm,
with Swami giving darshan, created this yearning to want to be part of this.
Mm-hmm.
Also to light up Sai Kulwanthal. I'm a servadal in South Africa.
I see.
Who gets involved in most of the decorations and lighting from the central level right up to the national level.
And where in South Africa are you located, brother?
I'm in Chatsworth in Durban.
Okay.
Right. This was the start of this amazing form of sadhana. In 2009, we journeyed to Prashanti, and we were allowed and graced with lighting and decor only in 2010. I was amazed at the joy and the decor and lighting brought to all the devotees, and especially the children. And this was the turning point for Christmas in Prashanti. This was Christmas, the teamwork that we were involved with was always graced by our loving and omnipresent Lord.
Mm-hmm.
This was made possible, and I've been part of this ever since. Working with the different countries, and surprisingly the language, was not a problem. It was always the joy and love that made working together positive and successful. The teamwork that we had going, we had an amazing group of youngsters and the young devotees that were always made themselves available and made it the duty to be present here in Prashanti. They were always here available to accomplish this work. We have devotees from all walks of life, doctors, lawyers, professionals, that were always available to climb up ladders and trees.
Mm-hmm.
They were always humbled by doing the work and continuing with serving. Usually, the younger generation always enjoy the fruits of freedom and personal interest. But here in Prashanti, we've had them so dedicated, and they always enjoyed every minute of the hard work and love and dedication.
Mm.
This year, especially, was a little bit of a change. We worked mostly with the older generation.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a lot of the elderly gentlemen that helped us with this love offering. And amazingly enough, the age group was between 60 to 70 years old.
Wow, very impressive.
Correct. So
the spirit of Christmas, I guess it possesses us all.
Yes.
Beyond our ages.
Correct. And this was the better half of our team that we've had working. It's an amazing journey that we've had, and we'll always enjoy this. I'll always want to be here, and hopefully Swami graces us.
So nice to hear that. Wonderful. This in this atmosphere of Bonhomie and so much of love, are there any challenges involved, Brother Jiva?
I'm sorry. Yes, you know, typically Swami, we have our plan, and Swami has a divine plan. So naturally, there will be challenges. You know, from the outset with us meeting every week, some of our brothers whom I'd like to acknowledge at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously couldn't be here, and that's Brother Balanaika, who was the part of the operations planning, Brother Desigan Naidu, who was our graphic designer on the project, and Brother Raveen Gamson, who was a part of the design set out as well. So due to work commitments in South Africa, we had great challenges meeting. We had to, at very short notice, change our meeting times and schedules. But nevertheless, Swami has made it possible for us to be here. Some of the things that we reflected on as challenges as opposed to what we've experienced in 2010, normally, we would prefer, after doing the design, meeting with the manufacturers where we could look at what's being produced, because we want only the best for Swami. In this particular case, most of our procurement was preferred to have been done in India. So although we were designing elements of the overall plan,
mm-hmm.
we couldn't readily communicate with the manufacturers. So that was one major challenge.
Big intercontinental project. Wow.
Yes, it was, and also to look at the logistics of exporting materials from South Africa, mm-hmm. and receiving it here, the paperwork and the logistics thereof was quite prohibitive, and therefore we leaned heavily on wanting to have most of the material manufactured here.
Mm-hmm.
I'd just like to touch on one particular example. We had most of the banners manufactured here in India,
mm-hmm.
After we've arrived. And due to our measurements being in centimeters and meters, and India working in feet and inches, we had submitted the plans, the layout of the banners. And as Swami would have it, one banner, which is a sign for Christmas with Swami picture on it, and one with Jesus on it, it turned out to be double the size of what we had asked for. So I'm still trying to figure out the message in that. Maybe Swami was extremely happy with the banner, and it has a bigger purpose somewhere. We're still trying to find a place for where we're going to fit it.
The bigger, the better.
Yes, indeed. Communications with some of the sevadars in the project. We've got a group of about 12 Russians. Don't speak a word of English. So almost every meeting or session that we have, we needed to have an interpreter. Mm-hmm. So that was quite interesting. And we've asked Uncle Subri to learn Russian by the next next Christmas.
I'm sure he'll manage it with Swami's grace.
Fixing details, you know, from what we've had in 2010 to what we see now has changed quite a bit. So when we get here and we find things have changed, then we've got to make a plan from our
constant plan. Evolving. Swami expects that, you know. Yeah. You have to hit the ground running and go with it.
That's it.
Deal with it.
But I think the greatest challenge is that, you know, naturally as devotees of the Lord, we want to be able to give the best. You know, we want to have no expense spared to offer to the Lord. But Swami doesn't want us. It's not about the pomp and the glory of Christmas. It's about us being the decorations on His divine tree.
Mm, very nicely said. Yes, indeed. Wow. So many people milling together and doing so many interactions, different teams, different languages. I'm sure there are some side stories about working on this annual exercise in Puttaparthi, which is not only about decorating the ashram, but also a lot of inner transformation. So I'm going to ask Brother Devan if he can bring us up to speed on that, please.
Om Sai Ram. For this year, when we got here to Prashanthi Nilayam, mm-hmm. it was supposed to be all these international countries that were supposed to be there. When we got to the shed, there were only 4 Russians to start off. And we had this mammoth task, so we got 4 South Africans and 4 Russians, just the 8, trying to make all these reads and get all this decorations
Russians,
together.
4 South Africans and Swami, between the few of you, 9 of you, perfect number.
And thereafter, Swami just sends the right people at the right time with the right skills, and therefore the decorations is going on so well as it is. Working with devotees from across the globe who share this common goal, working in love and unity to make the decorations grand and glorious,
yeah.
is always an amazing experience. We always hear devotees from other countries sharing their experiences, and this just reassures us of Swami's omnipresence. And just to share some miracles over the years, I've been involved in Christmas decorations.
Please, yes.
I know the New Zealand was involved. Swami materialized Vibhuti and Kungam on their candle at the shrine.
Wow.
For our 2010 experience, the Christmas committee, I think, omitted to tell us that we required a candle for Christmas. And when we got here, they've asked us to get a candle. And we sent one of the local devotees to Bangalore to purchase a candle, only to find out that the candle that the size that we require, actually requires about 2 weeks to make. And we didn't have that luxury of time.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to just take what the supplier had. He had a candle about the size we wanted, but it was a red square candle. And usually they use a white round candle for Christmas. When we opened the box, believe it or not, the candle was white and round.
Hmm.
So that was Swami's miracle. Another
makes you wonder who's running the show, actually.
I've also had my own personal best moment in my entire life in 2010,
mm-hmm.
close up with Swami, which maybe I won't share now, but...
No, go ahead, please, feel free.
No, I'll speak about the group experience. Before we could come to South Africa, our region had the opportunity, golden opportunity to decorate Swami's house, the Yaji Mandir, and we bought this beautiful pots, which was quite big, and large, and we decorated it with flowers, and we had taken it to Swami's house. We placed it in front of his entrance, but the sevadar that was there said, "This is looking too beautiful. Put it on top of Swami's balcony, because Swami most often he opens the door and he looks through that balcony, and that's the best offering for Swami." But obviously we couldn't go through Swami's house to take it on the top of the balcony. Mm-hmm. We battled because in Prasyanthi Nilayam, you know, the ladders are not very stable. So we battled to get the spots up. But obviously we are trying to do this as quiet as possible, not to disturb Swami.
So from outside you put
from
a ladder.
From outside, yeah. We're trying to get on top of this balcony with these huge pots.
Uh-huh.
But Swami, in his omnipresence, sends Brother Satyajit, comes out, he tells us, Swami says, tell my devotees it is too dangerous to take the pots up that on the ladder. Please leave the pots there. Tomorrow come at 10 o'clock, pots will be on the balcony for them. And we go there the next day, as Swami promised, pots were on the balcony.
So beautiful.
To continue our work.
That
so
is...
I think
that is totally lovely to know. Would you like to add to that, Brother Subri? Please go ahead.
Just to share two experiences.
Yeah, please.
As Swami says, when you do His work, He will protect you like the eyelids protect the eye.
Well said. Yeah.
And just to share my experience over the years doing service work, in 2010 I was given the opportunity to light the candle with Swami. And he held my hand and together we lit the candle. And I had psoriasis for 20 years, you know. And after lighting the candle,
when the Lord touched your hand,
when he touched my hand, I see I'm no more scratching and I'm feeling better. I didn't say my family anything. They were with me at the time. I waited for 3 days. And then I see it was getting cured. And by the time I left here, within a week, I was completely cured before I leave Puttaparthi.
And it hasn't come back.
It hasn't come back again.
Wow.
So, and that's one of the experiences that Swami, and then with last year in one of Basil had a youngster that had a problem with the vertebra. He couldn't turn his head. He couldn't sleep.
Uh-huh.
And he couldn't help us. He couldn't even climb up the ladders to assist us. And he was passionate to serve. So we asked him to go to the general hospital and they sent him to the super specialty hospital. And one of the doctors that Swami worked through, when he heard this boy's pains, the doctor just started pressing at his stomach and said to him, tell me where the pain is.
Mm.
And eventually when the doctor pressed and he said, the pain is here.
Mm.
Then he said to him, the problem is not there, it's here. And he gave him some medication.
In the abdomen, somewhere in the abdomen.
Yes.
Okay.
And gave him the medication. And 2 days later, he was up the ladder doing the work. And this is the way our beloved Bhagavan blesses us when we do his work.
Yeah.
As he says, grace is equal to the proportion of effort you put in. The more you put in, the more Bhagavan is happy with you.
Yes, and that's something I'm so privileged to hear from so many different people who come to Radio Sai and who are all his instruments and who work for Bhagavan and his mission. And they all say that the more effort they put in to be his instruments with love and humility, the more they find that their life is run on autopilot. Swami takes over all their problems and he looks after their health, their personal issues, their professional issues. Everything is being looked after by someone else. It's like your whole life is Swami's responsibility. And we don't even have to speak and discuss that with him. Would you like to add something, brother?
Yes, thank you, Sister Karuna. I'd just like to share an experience in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Just coming up to the final stages of sending all of the equipment that we had prepared for the decorations here in Prasyanthi,
mm-hmm.
We had put together 5 crates of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
We had then sent it through to the courier company. It was at the airport, ready to be scheduled to leave South Africa in a day. I get a call late the afternoon to say that the crates are too big. In its size, and it won't fit in the plane, so it's not going to be able to get up to India. I phoned Brother Devan and I phoned Brother Balan, and I said to them, this is the challenge that we have. And then I sat back and I prayed to Swami, and I said, Swami, only you can sort this out. And within a few minutes, Brother Devan called me back to say, there's a devotee in Johannesburg call him and ask him if he could go there and have a look. This devotee, Brother Cass, went through to the airport, had a look at the crates. By that afternoon, they had cut those crates down to the correct size. But the amazing part was, when we filled these crates, it was filled to the maximum. There was no place in that crate to allow for anything else.
To reduce the size.
To reduce the size. But how they were able to reduce that size that day that we required it, and to still fit everything in there and have it sent up to Prashanthi, is only Swami's grace.
Magic, Sai magic. He must have deflated the contents just that much to allow for the crates to be reduced in size. And no one can rationally explain that. Now I'm going to turn to Brother Subri. There are so many aspects to the, as I'm hearing from all of you and as I hear from every year's Christmas committee, there are many aspects to the project of decorating our ashram for Christmas. How does it all come together? Because, you know, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, as we all know, as Aristotle taught us. How do you all get everything together, the coordination? What goes on?
I think in the very outset, when we put this international team together to do the decorations, and when we met with the team in Shed 2, our first to inspire and motivate the group of people, I said to them that we are here, we are blessed to be here by Bhagavan, who has given us this great opportunity to serve in His divine name and consciousness. And I said to everybody, it's not about the decoration. It's not about how beautiful the decoration is going to be. Swami is going to do the decoration. But what is more important is our theme for the decoration is on love. And I said, it's the feeling behind putting these decorations together. As the feelings divine, is the thoughts right? Are we working with love? Are we working with unity?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I said to them, the end of it, it's not about the decoration, is how us, through preparing these decorations, transform and go out of Prashanthi Nilayam as better devotees. So I asked them all to focus on having unity, love, no anger, no frustration. As you know, when you do these large kind of projects, it's there's a lot of frustration and anger. And I think that tone was set in the very beginning, and I must say with all the countries involved, there was so much of love, so much of unity, and I said to them, the love must be in this decoration, that whoever sits in the Kulwant Hall, through the decoration, that love must go on through, through the devotees, you know. And that worked out very well. The teams worked with so much of love, so much of unity, so much of harmony, from the time the decoration started right up till now. So I thought that was very, very good. And you could see that all of them are really happy to be part of it. And some of them already said, we are looking forward for next year's decoration.
Oh. I think that's a great leadership step, to set the tone at the beginning and to remind everybody why we are doing it. It's not to show our skills or our talent as much as to pour our love into something and transform that act into an act of worship.
That was important for the people, and they all felt good, and the respect and the love that everyone had for one another, I think it was amazing. That was the best part of the decoration, where you could see the smiles and the love right through, even in the Kulwant Hall. You could feel the divine energy flowing through the devotees. It was amazing. And I think for me, that is what's going to be the highlight of this decoration, is the love amongst the devotees. We actually, I think the way it went about, that I asked everyone, we all have to live the theme, and all of them listened. And I think we said living our values every day was part of our life from inception up till now.
That is so inspiring, really. Now, this ethnic potpourri that works as a team to decorate for this grand birthday party for the Son of God, where does it all come from? Because you're in a leadership position, perhaps you can tell us where all these strands come from to weave so beautifully into the Christmas party here in Prashanthi.
I think over the years, people that came. I, for example, started this in 2008, joining the country California, and then came on to Atlanta next. We South Africa did it in 2010. And then in 2011, we worked with Croatia. In 2012, I was appointed coordinator. And I think what is important is the different types of people you meet from the different countries and the love and the energy that's put in. Previously, we worked with a country. When a country comes, they come with all their devotees. And it's amazing to see how these people together work and make things happen. But this year, 2016, was unique because we had different nationalities, different countries, different language barriers, and it was quite interesting working with different people. In between, we're learning one, two words of Russian and German. And
now you have to learn more than one, two words. Next year, you have to be proficient in Russian.
We'll have to do that, yeah. But working together and all the love, as I said earlier on, it's the love and the way the people worked. And what is amazing, when we said to them that we're starting at certain time, the people were sitting, especially the Russians, I have to mention this, they're so devoted that they're there beforehand, and they were just ready
to go.
They're
very disciplined too.
Very disciplined, and all that was amazing, you know, to see all these people from the different countries, how we got together, and through the unity, then the love, we got to where we are now.
Wow, this is wonderful. We never know how silently Baba's devotees work. We just see our ashram transforming into this heavenly site, but little do we know how much of thought and intense sadhana has gone behind it. This is a massive project, and how silently and selflessly the entire Christmas committee every year does it. Congratulations to all of you, and I really want to thank all four of you for coming to the studio and bringing our listeners up to speed. So on behalf of all of us, Brother Subri, Brother Devan Naidu, Brother Jiva Govinder, and Brother Basil, thank you, and Sai Ram. And dear listeners, it is your turn now to have your say. So I look forward to your feedback to this conversation with the Christmas Decoration 2016 Committee from Prashantinilayam. As always, you can reach us by email at listener@radiosai.org. Please do share your thoughts, and just go to the Radio Sai website and look at the lovely pictures of how gorgeous the ashram is looking right now. And now, it is my pleasure to bring you a short and sweet interview with Dr. Tatiana Goldberg. She is the conductor of the Christmas Choir for 2016. And dear brothers and sisters, you can enjoy this presentation by the choir, Prashanti Choir here, International Choir, in the Divine Presence of Bhagwan Baba when they perform on 24th evening. So just log on to radiosai.org and you can watch the live webcast in real time. And right now, you can listen to my interview, which I recorded yesterday, with Dr. Goldberg. Have a listen, please. Sai Ram, dear listeners, I'm delighted to have with me in the studio Dr. Tatiana Goldberg. Dr. Tatiana Goldberg is going to be conducting the Christmas choir for the Prashantinilayam Christmas for this year, that is the year 2016. Dr. Tanya Goldberg was born in Montenegro, former Yugoslavia. After graduating from the Moscow Conservatory as a solo violinist, she began her playing and teaching career based in Bosnia. In 1994, she tragically lost her family in the Bosnian War and escaped to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, where she made new life for herself and her daughter. In the year 2000, Tanya met her husband Nigel Goldberg and went to live in London, where she now teaches violin at the City University in London, the Middlesex University, and the Purcell School for Talented Children. For many years, Tanya Goldberg has contributed to the Christmas Choir in Prashantinilayam by playing the violin, and this year she's going to be leading it. Sai Ram, Tanya, and welcome to Radio Sai.
Sai Ram.
Now, let me begin by asking you, because our listeners are very curious. Every year, the world's eyes are on Christmas Prashantinilayam. So, what is the theme for the 2016 Christmas program?
Okay, theme for 2016 Christmas program embraces carols from several countries. It partly reflects my musical connection with countries I visited or lived in. So there are carols from South America, England, Germany, Spain, and the United States. Saying that, I also wanted to introduce more modern carols, such as Gloria from Misa Criolla and La Peregrinación by the Argentinian composer Ramirez, and two carols by the English composer John Rutter. I hope you will agree with me that they are particularly beautiful and evocative song when you hear them.
Oh, surely. We are so looking forward to them. Now, about this year's choir, I know it's every year, it's such a potpourri of people drawn from all over the world. What can you tell us about the composition?
The International Christmas Choir consists of people from approximately 25 countries.
Wow.
With ages ranging from our youngest member, who is 10 months old, Sai, to people well into their 70s. The choir is divided into sopranos, altos, and tenors, and I believe they all enjoyed singing their different parts.
Oh, I'm sure they do. And what information can you share about the orchestra?
The orchestra is also comprised of approximately, 15 musicians from Germany, Russia, China, India.
China also,
yes.
Wow.
Denmark, Australia, and United Kingdom. There are violinists, guitarists, percussionists, trumpets, flutists, and keyboard player.
Wow, sounds like so exciting.
It is.
Doesn't it? Now, what are your favorite songs for this year? I know everything you mentioned sounds good, but you must, as the conductor, you must have a favorite.
Yes, this is usually the case. And I have to say my favorites are, I believe, favorites of many people in a choir. They are Alleluia, Gloria, and Lord Bless You and Keep You. Not only because of the beautiful melody, but also because of lyrics that bring divine message to all hearts.
Very nice. Sounds wonderful. You know, you have played in this choir for so long as a violinist, and you've been coming to Puttaparthi, and when I was going through your bio, your introduction, it seems you've been through a lot
several
in life. Yes.
Yeah.
You've been quite a citizen of the world. What drew you to Puttaparthi and to Bhagwan? Why are you celebrating your Christmas here?
I will start from 2 years before Bosnian War, so in the 1990s. My friend went to India, and he was obviously here in Puttaparthi, and he phoned me and said, please come for a coffee, and I will give you something you need to smell it, and tell me the first thing which is in your mind. So it was obviously Vibhuti that he showed me then. And I smell, and I was surprised, because usually if you smell something, it will remind you of the smell of food or flower or perfume or some particular person. But in that moment, I was really overwhelmed because out of my mind pop out memories that I completely forgot. Where I was very, very, very small, but in the same time, I was very loved, I felt very loved and protected. And I said to my friend, oh, it is very strange, but this is smell of love and protection. So after that, he introduced me to Swami and told me that there is a book. And I read the book, which was The Man of Miracles. And I was raised in a communist country, so for me the idea of divinity was not very close to my heart. So I said, who knows, maybe once in my life I will meet that person. Happened that I spent 2 years in war, and I lost my family, and I escaped to Rio de Janeiro. And on the first opportunity, I had 55 days paid holidays from orchestra, so I decided I would like to visit Mexico, pyramids in Mexico. Funnily enough, until I today, I still didn't go, didn't visit them. Anyway, when I came to agency, I asked how much is ticket to India. To my great surprise, and to my also great surprise, I discovered that ticket to Mexico was twice more costly than to traveling to India.
Really odd.
Yes, and I was with a friend who was literally a citizen of the world, and he was a Buddhist, a professor of philosophy, and he said, why we don't go to India? And I said, why we don't go to India? I would love to meet India. I never went before. We decided to go to India. So from Nepal, practically, we drove all the way from temple to temple. And I remember that day I was sitting in little Kovalam beach watching this beautiful Indian sea, green to the horizon, and thinking how huge is this planet. So while I was lost in my thoughts, suddenly from horizon in front of me, zoom, appeared Swami. And I look at him and he said, listen, everyone has to find their way alone. And I was shocked because I then remembered that I was reading a book many years ago and was introduced to that person. And I remember, oh, that he lives in south of India. So he must be the best person to ask why I lost the country and my friends and my family and everything I had. So I said, oh, I must go and see him. But at that moment, I even didn't remember this, because when Swami said in English, everyone has to find their way alone, I simply looked at him and I said, why are you talking to me in English? Only took me years that Swami doesn't speak in any language. He speaks in language of heart. So, of course, after my question, Swami disappeared.
But when you said he appeared, was it in flesh and blood?
I had vision of him. I don't know. I didn't touch him. He simply appeared in front of me. It was like a person, yes. Mm-hmm. And was talking to me with these words. Mm-hmm. So I ran back to hotel and I said to my friend, you know, you remember that person I was reading a book about? I just remember because he appeared in front of me. And I must go to that place. And my friend said, no, this is not good. I heard a lot of not good things. I don't think so. This is a good idea. I said, no, I think it's a very good idea, because if people said that he is divine, he will know the answer why I lost my family and why I have this tragedy. So we managed to find a taxi, and my friend was not happy. He said, you will have one darshan only, and that's it. So I came here. I was running.
Year was this?
This was 1995, December. Mm-hmm. So I ran through ashram to the office and give my passport and said, my name is Tatiana Grubich in that time. Here is my passport, and I would like to talk to Swami. And, of course, everyone starts to laugh. And they said, oh, sorry, that is not the way. You will need to go to queue, and then you will see what will happen. So I went into queue, and it happened that in front of me was sitting a lovely lady who helped me to find a pencil and paper, and she said it will be probably the best you write a paper, because you don't know if Swami will call you. I was lucky that time that I was in fourth queue, and after sitting for several hours waiting for Swami, I start to talk to women around me, and one woman was ill from brain tumor, and another just lost her husband. I have my own tragedy, and I look all this mass of people, and I felt I'm only a drop in a sea of human tragedies. I lost everything, but I don't feel lost. So, and I felt very calm and very happy. So at that moment, while I was thinking, I lost everything, but I don't feel lost, Swami appeared. And I was, of course, on my knees, screaming, "Swami, here is the letter, here is the letter." Every time he saw me, he passed four times. He turned, never looked at me, never took my letter. I went back to Brazil. After 4 months, the lady who I met in ashram sent me a card and said, "Today Swami took your letter." And from that then on, my start really changed. Mm-hmm. My life really changed.
And here you are today.
And here am I, yes. Today with my husband also, who I met in Brazil. He is from United Kingdom, born in Leeds. We both live in, and work in London. And it was interesting story because coming from Brazil, I didn't know when I met my husband how he will see my involvement with Swami. And it was very easy because from childhood he was seeing Swami's face on incense that they were selling in their local shop. And he was always thinking, "Oh, it will be nice maybe one day to meet that man." So when I said about Swami, he said, "Oh, let's go from this Christmas madness, shopping and everything, and carols and everything. Let's come and go to India. There won't be this Christmas madness." As is always happens, I love Swami's jokes. So how we arrived in ashram, on a full microphone was singing, "Jingle bells, jingle bells." and it was, I
the
really
joke was on him.
I said, "Thank you, Swami, for a joke it was." And anyway, both of us, we then offer our service to orchestra. In that time, director was Sylvia. And from then on, every year we were here.
So 21 years later, first time you're going to lead the orchestra,
yes,
in the Kulwant Hall,
yes,
the Sai,
yes,
Kulwant Hall.
Yes.
What an honor and what a privilege.
Yes.
I'm sure a lot has transpired in your life since the last 22 years when you lost your family.
Yes.
And I think that's a story to capture for another time.
Yes.
But I really want to thank you for bringing Radio Sai listeners up to speed about what they can look forward to for Christmas 2016.
My main message is we are working very hard and we will try to pour all our hearts into our singing and hope you will enjoy this concert.
I'm sure we will. Dr. Tatiana Goldberg, thank you.
Thank you.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listeners. And welcome back to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. Today is the 22nd of December 2016. In 2 days' time, on Christmas Eve, you're going to be here exposed to some amazing divine music coming from Prashanthi Nilayam. Right now, we are coming to you live from, of course, the abode of Supreme Peace in India, where the time right now is 31 minutes. Actually, let me pause. And 32 minutes past 10 a.m. exactly. You just heard a conversation with Dr. Tatiana Goldberg, who is the leader of the Christmas choir that will be performing in the Divine Presence in the Sai Kulwant Hall on Christmas Eve, that is 24th of December 2016. Please do share your thoughts, comments and suggestions regarding the interview with Dr. Tatiana Goldberg and the earlier one, the live studio discussion with the four members of the Christmas Decoration Committee 2016, namely Brother Subri, Mr. Devan Naidu, Mr. Jeeva Govender, Mr. Basil. We look forward to all your emails at listener@radiosai.org. And now, it is my pleasant duty to announce the names of all those listeners of Morning Glory who got the answer right to my question from last week. As you may recall, I had read out some passages from Divine Discourses of Bhagwan Baba and I'd asked you, who was Baba referring to when he advised how exactly seva should be performed? The correct answer to those historic divine discourses was, of course, the Seva Dal volunteers. And these are the listeners who got the answers right. Dr. Jitendra Mulki from the Hanu Road, Maharashtra. Ms. Rukmini Ramachandran from Mumbai, Maharashtra. Shankari Subhash and Subhash Lakshmi Narayanan from Dubai. Brother G. Jagannathan from Fremont, California, USA. My very own Canadian sister, Nalina Kumar from Edmonton, Canada. Miss Purna Janki Raman from Sharjah. Miss Sandhya Rani P. from New Delhi. Brother Devraj from Dubai. Sister Rekha Loknath from Mysore, Karnataka. Miss Geeta Sundar from Madurai, Tamil Nadu. And finally, Swami's very own property and his very own student, Brother Sai Krishna from Hyderabad, Telangana. Congratulations go out to all the listeners who participated in that quiz and got their answers right. With that, I'm delighted to bring you Light and Prism, Episode 7 of Self-Reflection by Mr. K. Chakravarti. Dear sisters and brothers, I wish you a sisome awesome day ahead. And if you're going to bed, good night. Please enjoy the rest of the show as you drift to sleep in some parts of the world where it's quite late right now. Till we meet on next morning glory, please be well, stay positive, and count your blessings. As they say, life is for the living, and each of us is blessed to have a personal and direct connection with our cosmic Christ. Hallelujah. Jai Sai Ram, and over to self-reflection. Please enjoy. Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to Self-Reflection on Radio Sai. Self-Reflection is a unique presentation to honor the 91st birthday anniversary of Bhagwan Baba. In this series, we have Mr. K. Chakravarti, a long-standing devotee and a member of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, read out articles that he has penned for various commemorative volumes that were published during landmark birthdays of our Lord Sai in the period 1990 to 2016. Today you will hear Mr. Chakravarti share the seventh reflection in this series, entitled Light and Prism. He had penned it for a special 80th birthday souvenir volume in the year 2005. This self-reflection was recorded at the Radio Sai Studios on the 21st of October 2016. And here it is for your inspiration and listening pleasure.
Light and Prism. A touch divine upon thy human days, make of thy daily way a pilgrimage. Jesus asked people, "What would you that I do unto you?" In a similar vein, Swami asked devotees, "What do you want?" Many keep quiet, some do respond, placing before him their pressing problems of the daily world. When people keep quiet, I ask within myself, is it because they feel shy of asking for the treasures of the world when the inexhaustible treasure of here and hereafter is before them? They can ask for a slice of the kingdom of the world, but perhaps they have a dim perception that while the kingdom of God is within themselves, why ask for something far inferior? They can ask for glory and honor, but they hesitate to ask, perhaps because their everyday experience shows that path of glory leads but to the grave. Very few possibly think of asking for problems in the belief that problems will make them think of Swami more and thereby keep them in constant touch with Him. We are not sure of what we want in our lives. No single factor or a combination of factors can vouchsafe continuous, unalloyed happiness. We feel that left to Him, Swami will give us what is good for us. As Jesus says, if your earthly Father knows how to give gifts, how much more will the Heavenly Father give? I wonder whether anyone had asked Swami to give super speciality hospitals or schools and university. They have been given to us by Swami on His own and spontaneously, both as service facilities and service opportunities. The drinking water projects again are His gifts to us without our asking Him. As Jesus says, your Heavenly Father knows what you want even before you ask Him. I believe we can ask Him of something that keeps us in continuous and close contact with Him, of something that opens our eyes to see the world and the creatures as He sees them, of something that yokes our lives to His mission. If He could but become fully aware of the end to which He is born at this time in history and for the cause for which He has come into the world, our lives would stand redeemed. Some see Him every day. Many see Him often enough. And many more see Him from time to time. No doubt, we see His divine form, get a fractional understanding of the highest knowledge that He embodies, and sense a comprehensive love which engulfs His creation. We know and feel that His love reaches out to the battered bodies, to the distraught minds, and to the restless souls. The gentle breeze that blows as He moves by restores a vital energy in tired bodies. The tentative smile clarifies the mind, and the monosyllabic utterance plants peace in the soul. It dawns on us then where the problems have been weighing on our mind and weighing us down persist. Our way of looking at them has changed. There's a glimmer of understanding that while the creation, that is the world, has not changed, our view, our perception has changed. It is as though the dark night has yielded place to the growing dawn, and a deep sense of forlornness is replaced by a sense of inseparable closeness. Whether it comes in a moment or after what appears as an interminably long time, it is only in our estimation. But when it happens, we know that although it's a moment in time, but time was made through that moment. We become aware that although we forget the way to the temple, Swami remembers the way to our door. When we seem to be settling down to the feeling that we must proceed from light to light in the light of the word, it is necessary that we keep reminding ourselves and resume the march on the way that was lit by the light, however halting, loitering, straying, and delaying it is. For many of us, life becomes endless cycles, endless movements, endless repetitions, passing seasons, rolling years, shifting decades. And when life has slipped into the inevitable geriatric gear, we find that our lives are like memories in the mist. Life is folded into an album of faded photographs. Gone is the pride in physique, the pleasure in mental gymnastics, the delight in gastronomic delicacies, the feverish self-fueling of a whole host of desires. In our pursuit of knowledge of men and matters, we cease to acquire the knowledge of the word that has manifested itself to remove the darkness surrounding us and light the path leading to Him. We seem to rely with supreme confidence on our skills and abilities without realizing that man without God is a seed upon the wind, driven this way and that, and finding no place of lodgment and germination. Seldom do we pause and reflect. We seem to be in a constant move, reviving our fiery auto engines and taking off in the sparkling jets. Much of our life has acquired mechanical precision. We perfect artificial politeness towards our brethren, but not extend genuine respect. If only we can stop in our steps and give a little thought as to how we can have a mid-course correction, that would indeed open new possibilities, and in this life with new meaning. A shift from one's exclusive pursuit of self-interest to doing small acts of kindness and love to others will mark a new beginning. Existence becomes awareness. Every dawn brings a new excitement. Every night, a new fulfillment. Endless movements transform into meaningful action. Endless cycles cease to be drudgery. Endless repetition becomes holy incantation. Words take on a new meaning. Places acquire a new significance. Faceless people become bonded brothers. Thoughts and feelings confined to self-promotion take new writings and literally soar. In the words of a poet, out of the sea of sound, the life of music, out of the slimy mud of words, out of the sleet and hail of verbal imprecisions, approximate thoughts and feelings, words that have taken the place of thoughts and feelings, there spring the perfect order of speech and the beauty of incantation. The encounter with Swami lifts us up from somnolence, senseless self-pity, meaningless ambitions, stultifying frustrations and wild incomprehensions. We become ourselves. A new glow pervades within us. Colors and sounds take on new shapes and tones. The bright mornings, the serene afternoons, the mellow evenings, and the quiet nights become the new cycles. We are grateful to Swami for the new life He has poured into us. The earth flowers and the sky blooms in a myriad colors. Heaven's gate is open and we are in the presence of Swami. His slow gait, soft voice, gentle gestures, the surprise in His eyes, the frown on His brow, and the unhurried shift of His face all hold our attention. All else around Him vanish, and His being only fills our eyes. Time stands still and draws into eternity. But soon, time changes, and with it we fall back into stretched hours. Is this all my mind's play? Or is this a beginning of a new dawn and a new awareness?
Sai Ram, you are tuned to Radio Sai's special series, Self-Reflection. You are currently listening to Mr. K. Chakravarti reading out his article, Light and Prism, written for the 80th birthday souvenir in the year 2005. This self-reflection was recorded at the Radio Sai Studios on the 21st of October 2016. Please continue to stay with us for the rest of the narrative.
The day's work for Swami has begun. Each day is the birth of a new life and the end of an old life. But wait, is life new or old? The new life is old life come again, and old life is end of the new life. Beginning and end. In my beginning is my end, and in my end is my beginning, as the poet says. As we muse on this, we hear someone telling Swami that his daughter is to be married, and Swami blesses us by saying, happy. And a little way down, someone with visible anguish telling Swami that his mother is no more. And Swami blesses him saying, Santosham. Birth and death, joy and sorrow are met in measure in Swami's creation. And the Creator reflects the joy of His child's marriage and the joy of another soul's return to His lotus feet. All shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well, by the purification of the motive in the ground of our beseeching. There is no beginning and no end of the day for Swami. Each day slides into apparent night, and each apparent night breaks into a new day. Ceaseless action, ceaseless dissolution, ceaseless creation, and yet all repose, all rest, and all stillness. the dynamic dance of Sai Shiva with its counterpoise of Yoganidra of Sai Narayana. Swami defies all categories. He is poised in the thick of action, vibrant in silence. He cannot be determined by age. He cannot be confined to the human frame. He cannot be comprehended by the powerful tools of our reason and understanding. There is no frame of reference for us to fix him. Standing and floating, unmoving and moving, being seen and still remaining unseen, Swami will continue to be the original mystery. In nearness, he is far. In being far, he is near. He is far and near. He is far when we are irresolute. He is near when we are resolute. He is a friend afar. He is a stranger near. But a friend and stranger is a reflection of ourselves. He is the same unchanging one. Near, far, the incomprehensible one. With God, how close can closeness be? How distant can distance be? Is nearness closeness? Is distance remoteness? Nearness, closeness, distance, remoteness, all these are myriad reflections. Closeness 1 minute, distant a minute later. From moment to moment, a heightened awareness. Moment adds to eternity, and moment disappears into nothingness. Life is a series of here and now, where we must be still and still moving into another intensity for a further union, a deeper communion, where closeness and distance dissolve into each other. In my servitude is my freedom, a servitude to the divine manifestation that frees me from servitude to anyone else or anything else. In denial of my separate identity is the realization of the true identity of the self. Expressing this state in words does not amount to finding it. Perhaps when it is found, words will cease and there will be no echo but silence. We see the faraway gaze of Swami and then the sharp piercing of his near look. We sense his deep engagement in the world and his procession of men and events and acquired disengagement from them. And in stillness and silence, profound truth is taught and learnt, as we are told with reference to Dakshinamurti. But at human level, we need to be talked to by Swami. When he talks, there is joy. When he is silent, there is sadness. When he smiles, there is laughter in our hearts. When he sees a way, there is a loneliness, however much I keep my countenance and remain self-possessed. We need to move and learn at 2 levels of our being, the mental and spiritual, and unify such learning into a coherent response to the divine. Each day goes by with a prayer that he may give us our daily bread, the bread of life, physical and spiritual. For man is joined, spirit and body, visible and invisible, 2 worlds meet in man. As we diminish in physical health, we hope we magnify in spirit and feel a growing peace in our hearts. As the evening bell tolls after the aarti, we see Swami moving from the mandir. The glow of the evening takes reluctant leave. There's a serenity and contentment seen on the faces of the persons as Swami goes by. Twilight descends and surrounds us. And the words of the poet, I feel immeasurably at peace and find the world to be wonderful and youthful after all. Another day passes, another lesson learnt, another blessing secured, another prayer on our lips, and the quiet feeling in us that all rose from the silence, all goes back to its hush. Thank you.
Sairam, dear listeners, you just heard Mr. K. Chakravarti read out his article, Light and Prism, that he had written for a special volume to commemorate the 80th birthday of Bhagwan Baba in the year 2005. This self-reflection was recorded at the Radio Sai Studios on the 21st of October 2016. Today's reading was the seventh in a series of self-reflections, a special program in honor of the 91st birthday celebrations of Bhagwan Baba. Mr. K. Chakravarti is a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan Baba and a member of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. And in this series, Self-Reflection, he reads out articles that he had penned for various commemorative volumes published during landmark birthday celebrations of Bhagwan Baba over a period of 26 years, from 1990 to 2016. Dear listeners, we look forward to your feedback to this special presentation. You can reach us by email at listener@radiosai.org. Thank you for your company, and please continue to stay tuned to Radio Sai Global Harmony, coming to you from Prashanti Nilayam, India. Sai Ram.
Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Come on. Da 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 da